Hello, church family from the Heasleys.
Hello, church family from the Savages.
Good morning, church family from Sam and Jenny.
Good morning, church family from Dennis and Pat Glass.
Good morning, church family from the Allens.
Good morning, church family
from the Kerrs.
Hello, church family from the McGoyans.
Good morning, church family from Margaret Coyle. God bless.
Good morning, everyone from Raymond.
Hello, church family.
Good morning, church family from the Wilsons.
Good morning, church family from Kathy.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to HRBC Sunday morning service brought to you this week from our kitchen.
Yes, good morning. It's lovely to be able to do this with you all this morning. We hope you get you're blessed through it. So I'm not a very patient person. This has been probably highlighted to me even more so in lockdown, which you all can probably attest to. So waiting for things is not something that comes easy to me. But at the minute, we don't really have a choice in that. And I was reading in Isaiah 40 about youths growing faint and weary and being exhausted. But it says, but those who wait for the Lord will renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And I suppose it's just an encouragement this morning that that we wait on God. The passage as well talks about how the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, and he will not grow faint or weary, and his understanding is unsearchable. So let's trust and wait on him this morning. In his purposes. Let's sing together.
Rise.
so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Hi everyone. Today I'm going to tell our story using a thing called a flannel graph. Some of the grannies and grandas and the mums and dads might remember stories being told this way whenever they were young. Boys and girls, you can ask them about it. I've tried to do it this time digitally. Some of you might want to try this as well at home. I just used an app on my phone. You could try an app or an iPad and maybe send it into the church. Our story this morning is from the New Testament, from the book of Acts, and it takes place after Jesus died and rose again. Our story is about Peter. Peter has been telling everybody about Jesus. This is his house where Peter's friends are praying. The whole church family is praying in this house for Peter. They're praying for Peter because he is in prison. He is chained to two guards, and the guards are sleeping. Peter is sleeping too, because it's the middle of the night, and it's the night before Peter's trial. Suddenly, in Peter's prison cell, an angel appears. "Get up, quick, follow me," says the angel. Peter gets up and goes with the angel, and he leaves the guards sleeping. They walk past some more guards. These guards aren't asleep, but they can't see Peter either. Peter thinks that he's in a dream. Peter and the angel keep on walking. They get to the city gates. They go through the city gates. And then the angel disappears. Peter finds himself standing in the street by himself, and he realizes, this is not a dream. This is really happening. I'm really free. So Peter goes to the house where he knows that everybody is praying for him. He goes and he knocks on the door. Inside the house, a servant girl comes to the door. But she doesn't open the door. She recognizes Peter's voice, and she goes away back inside the house again and says to everybody, "Peter's here! Peter's here!" "He can't be here," says everyone else. "You're crazy." But Peter keeps knocking on the door. The servant girl goes back to the door, and this time she opens the door. And when they open the door, they see Peter, and they're absolutely astonished. They can't believe their eyes. They can't believe that what they've been praying for has actually happened. Peter says, "Tell everyone, tell all my friends, tell all the Christians that God has set me free and that your prayers are answered." In this story, the people in the house are praying for Peter to be released, but they don't actually believe it whenever it happens. Our God is so big that what he can't do can't be measured. God is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. And this comes from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom.
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 And power and the glory.
And the power and glory.
The power and the glory.
And the power and the glory.
The power and the glory.
The power and the glory.
And the power and the glory.
The power and the glory.
Forever.
Forever.
Forever and ever.
Forever.
Forever and ever.
Forever and ever.
Forever.
Forever and ever.
Amen.
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 This morning's reading comes from Acts chapter 12. It was about this time that Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. When he saw that this pleased the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out to public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared and a light shone into the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and sandals," and Peter did so. "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me," he said. Peter followed him out of prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading into the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from the clutches of Herod and everything the Jewish people were anticipating." When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Of his love.
And all the way my Savior leads me. And all the way my Savior leads me.
I wonder if you've ever asked this question. Where is God in times of crisis? Where is God in times of crisis? It won't have escaped your attention this Sunday that we find ourselves in the midst of a global crisis. Politically, we feel unstable. Economically, we are unsure of the future. And personally, many people are filled with anxiety and uncertainty about what the days and months ahead will bring. But the Bible speaks to us about times of crisis. And in Acts chapter 12, we have an illustration of the early church, the early disciples, the early believers who find themselves embroiled, and you could say entrapped in a crisis. The believers have been part of this global movement that is starting in Jerusalem and it moves into Judea and moves into Samaria and is now going to the ends of the earth. But they are finding the words of the Lord Jesus to be absolutely true at this stage in the history of the spread of the good news about Jesus. Jesus had said to his disciples in the upper room as he sought to teach and train them before he would ascend and go to his Father after his death, burial and resurrection. He said to them, if they hated me, they will also hate you. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. So the crisis that we find in Acts chapter 12 is the crisis of persecution that is coming against the believers. And the early believers were persecuted because they were not silent about Jesus. They didn't live in their own home or their own flat or their apartment and seek then for the rest of their lives to tell no one about Jesus. No, they saw the goal of their life to infiltrate every aspect of society and tell people about the love and the good news that Jesus Christ saves people like you and me from our sins. And that didn't mean that everybody loved them. In fact, many people hated them for that message. So let's look at this question. Where is God in the midst of a crisis, and how must we respond when we find ourselves in the midst of a crisis? Well, I think we're going to see God's power. As we seek to answer this question, I believe the answer is that God's power is very present in times of a crisis. But our response should firstly be this. Pray to God in the midst of a crisis. It sounds so simple, and yet it's so profound when we look at the Bible. We must pray to God in the midst of a crisis in verses 1 to 5 of chapter 12. Let me read it to you. About that time, Herod the king laid violent hands on some who belonged to the church. Herod was the king at this time, but he wanted to curry favor with the Jewish Pharisees and people, and so he was doing everything he could to stop the spread of the good news of Jesus Christ. And so verse 2, he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. James in the book of Acts is the second martyr that is recorded for us. Stephen has been martyred as a deacon in Acts chapter 7. But here, this is the first apostle to be beheaded, because he simply could not be quiet about the good news about Jesus Christ. And so Herod sees that he's winning favor with the Jewish people, and so he seeks to strike the church where it would hurt the most. If he could take out their leader, Peter, then maybe he could cause this little fledgling movement to be split apart. Verse 3, and when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. And this was during the days of unleavened bread. And when he seized him, he put Peter in prison, delivering him over to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending that after the Passover, he would bring him out to the people. Four squads of soldiers to guard Peter. Peter must not escape. Peter, as said by the Lord Jesus Christ, would be the leader, would be the rock of the church. Herod wants no divine power to be able to rescue Peter out of his clutches. And so in the face of things, it appears as if the early church is now in the midst of a crisis. James, one of the apostles, has been beheaded, and not only was that tragic and terrible, but now Peter, the leader, the director, the preacher at Pentecost, the visible figure of the church, he's now imprisoned. But the truth is, as somebody once said many years ago, God may bury his messengers, but he can never bury his message. God may bury his messengers from one generation to the next, but as we find ourselves many hundreds of years after the birth of the church here in the book of Acts, God has buried many messengers, but his good news continues to spread to the ends of the earth through people like you and me who love the Lord Jesus Christ. But this appears to be a crisis. Peter is in prison. But look at the second half of verse 5. But earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. The church was praying continuously, fervently, and passionately that God would help them, that in the midst of their crisis, that God would show his power. In the original text, this word earnest means as if they're straining every muscle in prayer to God, that God would show his power in the midst of this crisis. They prayed. That was their response to a crisis. Could I challenge you today, as you find yourselves in the midst of a global pandemic and crisis, is your first instinct to pray? Pray earnestly. Pray without ceasing. Pray constantly. And could I also challenge you at this first point that you would be like these early apostles and disciples who didn't seek to keep their faith to themselves, realizing that it would bring persecution, but that we too, in these incredible days, would step out in faith, even if it brings some hardship and difficulty and maybe some facts that we are ostracized from some people we know and love. Pray that God would give us too the boldness to share like these early disciples.
Wonderful faith.
God's power in the midst of the crisis causes his people to pray. But secondly, in verses 6 to 17, I think our next response should be to praise God in the midst of a crisis. Not just to pray earnestly to him, but to bring him our praise. Let's read verse 6. Now, when Herod was about to bring Peter out on that very night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains and sentries before the door regarding the prison. I mean, it seemed impossible. It seemed as if there was no way out. It seemed as if there was no hope. The Passover has ceased, and now it's the time where Peter is going to likely be beheaded before the people. But what appears impossible for man is possible for God. The people are praying for God to show up in the midst of this crisis and to demonstrate his power and his greatness and his glory. And God does appear, verse 7. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood next to Peter, and the light shone in the cell, and he struck Peter, can you imagine this, on the side and woke him up, saying, "Get up, Peter." And the chains fell off his hands. It's likely that this was happening in the prison between 4 a.m. and 6 a.m. in utter darkness. And God has shown up. An angel of the Lord has been sent by the Lord himself to rescue Peter. And God's representative, verse 8, and the angel said to Peter, "Dress yourselves and put on your sandals." And he did so. And he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." Now, there were many times where Jesus had to speak to Simon Peter and say, "Simon Peter, follow me." But now God has showed up through this angel. And again, the words of the Lord through his messenger is, "Peter, follow me. Even in this crisis, Peter, will you follow me?" I wonder, do you hear the words of the Lord Jesus today through his word saying, "Continue to follow me during these days of crisis"? And Peter, verse 9, went out and he followed him. He did not know what was being done by the angel and if it was really real, but he thought he was seeing a vision. And when they had passed the first and the second guard, can you just see this happening? When they passed the first and the second guard, they came to the iron gate. Now, surely they shouldn't have got past the iron gate leading into the city. But it opened for them of its own accord, and they went out and went along one street, and immediately the angel left them. He's got past the four squads of guards. His chains have fallen off. The iron gate leading to the city opens. In the same way that many of us ask, who rolled away the stone of the Lord Jesus? God did. Who rescued Peter in the darkness of this crisis on this night? The angel of the Lord did. Who was it that rescued God's people when they were in Egyptian captivity for 400 years? God did. In times of crisis, from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, God in his ways and in his time has always come to rescue his people. So what does Peter do next? Verse 12, when he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose other name was Mark, where many were gathered together and they were praying. And he knocked at the door of the gateway, and a servant girl, poor little Rhoda, comes to answer the door. Now they're praying for Peter to be released, and Rhoda, the little girl, comes to the door. Recognizing Peter's voice in her joy, she did not open the gate, but ran in and reported that Peter was standing at the gate. Now, Peter is a runaway. Peter needs to get in. Peter needs to find security. And so he's standing at the door. The answer to their specific prayers, And yet, like you and me, at times when God shows up in miracle working power, sometimes we, like Rhoda, struggle to believe it's really true. And they said to her, verse 15, "You're out of your mind, Rhoda." But Rhoda kept on insisting that it was so. And they kept saying, "Ah, it is his angel." But Peter continued knocking at the door, and when they opened it and when they saw him, they were amazed. They were amazed. Could only God could do this. This was God's power at work in the midst of a crisis. But motioning to them with his hand to be silent, he described how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Tell these things to James and to the brothers." And then he departed and he went to another place. God's power rescued God's people in the Exodus. When an angel of the Lord came through Egypt at that time. But all those who put blood over the doors, their household was protected and they were rescued. It was God's power that brought them out of Egyptian slavery into a new land. And it was the same God yesterday, today, and forever who rescues Peter from his chains and his imprisonment. God always rescues his people. Sometimes he does it on earth and in heaven. But he always rescues us in heaven for all eternity. Sometimes he doesn't rescue people from their physical circumstances here on earth, because we've already witnessed the story of Stephen, the young martyr who was stoned to death. God didn't rescue him on earth, but oh, he rescued him for all eternity. James, who we read at the start of this narrative, he was one of the apostles. He wasn't rescued here on earth, but he was rescued for all eternity. This is God's power, that he rescues us and saves the Christian for all eternity. This is his ultimate miracle working power. That he can take you and I in our lostness and in our rebellion against him and change our heart and change our life and no doubt change some of our circumstances here on earth. But ultimately, he wants to save and rescue us for all eternity. So in the midst of this crisis, in the midst of our crisis, we must be looking for God's power. Our response must be that we pray. But secondly, that we must praise him. We must praise him for his miracle working power of salvation in your life today if you're a Christian. And if you're not yet a Christian, it would be our desire that in the midst of this global crisis, and you wonder who you can turn to or where you can turn to, that this morning that you can turn to Jesus. The Jesus who said to his disciples, "In this world you will have trouble." Stephen experienced it. James has experienced it. Peter's experienced it. In this world, he says, you will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. And he has overcome this world because the Lord Jesus Christ has gone ahead of the church, the Christian, and he's preparing a city and a home and a place for all eternity that will never pass away, where there'll be no more pandemics and no more personal crisis, because we will always be with the Lord. This is God's power in the midst of a crisis. We must pray to him. We must praise him for his miracle working power in our lives as Christians. But thirdly, there's something all of us must do, is that we must fear the Lord. In verses 18 to 24, and this is what Herod does not do. Herod, rather than turning to God in these moments, turns in himself. Listen to what happens next. "Now, when the day came, there was no little disturbance among the soldiers over what had become of Peter." You can imagine what it was like for them to wake up and Peter's no longer there and his chains are lying at their feet. "And after Herod searched for Peter and did not find him, He examined the sentries and ordered that they should be put to death. And then he went down from Judea to Caesarea and spent time there. Now Herod was angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, and they came to him with one accord, and having persuaded Blastus, the king's chamberlain, they asked for peace, because their country depended on the king's country for food. And on an appointed day, Herod put on his royal robes, took his seat upon the throne, and delivered an oration to them. And the people were shouting, "Herod, the voice of a god and not a man." But immediately, an angel of the Lord struck Herod down because he did not give God the glory. And he was eaten by worms and breathed his last. God's power at work in this crisis did not cause Herod to pray to God, to praise God. Rather, Herod sought to find strength in himself, to glorify himself, rather than fear God. And it's my prayer on this Sunday broadcast that if you're listening to this intently today, and you're not yet a follower of Jesus Christ, that you would fear him. Because Herod did not clothe himself with humility and seek to follow in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ, the angel of the Lord appears to him not to rescue him, but to execute him, because he wouldn't worship the true and the living God. Could I encourage you on this day that you would let this crisis situation in the narrative in the book of Acts, would you let the crisis that is happening across the world cause you to fear God? There's a lovely story of a man named John Newton who had led a very colourful life before he became a follower of Jesus. And he described what it was like in that moment that he realized who Jesus was and how powerful Jesus is. And he described it as if the dungeon in his heart was flamed with light. He said, "My chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose and I went forth and followed him." Today, if you feel chained personally, if you feel imprisoned by sin, could I encourage you that with this story in Acts chapter 12, that you would see the power of God, and on this day, come to Christ, repent of your sin and your rebellion against him, and unlike Herod, that you would become part of the church and part of the family of God for all eternity.
Come on. Look, and thank you all for joining with us today, and thanks to everybody who's taken part throughout the service as well. Do hope that you enjoy the rest of the day. Let's close our broadcast in prayer. Father God, thank you that we can turn to you in our times of crisis. Father, thank you that we can pray to you, we can praise you, and we should fear you. Father, we pray that in these coming days we will do all three, through the power of your Holy Spirit at work in us. Father, we believe that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and we need that in these days. So, Father, would you work in us and work through us in these days, in Bangor, in the local area, and across the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless and have a good day.